It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. For more than two decades, residents of Cedar Falls looked forward to seeing what kind of giant sculpture would appear in front of Pete Junior High School. There was a giant boombox, a Converse sneaker, a mountain bike, a cruise ship, and many, many others. The man behind those projects was William Close, an art teacher and artist, and he tells the story in pictures in his new book, Big, the story behind 23 years of Pete Junior High mega sculptures, and he is here with me today. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Charity. Thank you for having me here.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and I want to go back to when this began. It was in 1979 that the seeds of this idea were planted. What was going on?
In 1979, in the fall of that year, I had a ninth grade art class that there were really nice guys. There were some athletes, just good kids in there, but I didn't feel they were buying into the art curriculum that I was offering them. At that same time, the ladies in the cafeteria asked me if one of my art classes would make some colorful posters for National School Lunch Week. And in the back of my mind, I knew what the reaction would be from the boys in my art class.
Right, I can just imagine 14-year-old boys who are kind of disaffected anyway, getting really excited about making posters for school lunch week.
When I proposed the colorful posters for school lunch week, their eyes kind of rolled, and I knew what I wanted to do. For many years, I had tossed around the idea of building a mega sculpture. Claus Oldenburg, an internationally known artist, was and still is a hero of mine. I admire his work. It's the Spoon and Cherry and sculpture in Minneapolis, and the Shuttlecocks in Kansas City, and here in Iowa we have the Crusoe Umbrella in Des Moines. So I thought that maybe we could do something special for the cafeteria ladies, and I asked the boys if they'd be interested in making the world's largest school lunch. And they immediately bought into that idea. They thought it sounded like a lot of fun.
So it was the idea of making something larger than life. I mean, we've all seen those sculptures, and I think a lot of people just really, really love those giant, giant sculptures. So did the boys immediately react like, oh, yeah, we're going to make the biggest?
Well, as I look back, that's a reaction I was looking for, and I think we got it. And we divided those boys up into teams. And we had the green bean team and the hamburger team and the milk carton team and the spoon and fork team. We decided on, what kind of materials we had available that we could use. And we set about building our lunch. And it was so large that it filled the entire stage of our auditorium there in the cafeteria. So it turned out just to be a great learning experience. And I know the kids had fun. And for the rest of that year, I felt like I had them in the palm of my hand. Anything I suggested, they were eager to accomplish my goals.
So as an artist, you had admired this kind of sculpture, this kind of larger-than-life stuff in the past. So did you kind of have an epiphany as an artist of, oh, I have my own workforce now. I can create something that I've always dreamed of? Or was this an epiphany as a teacher, or both?
I would have to say it's both. There's, you know, I had taught for 10 years prior to the first mega sculpture, and I had learned that junior high kids get fascinated by things that are either really, really small or really, really big. And we had done lots of what I would call mini mega sculptures. My seventh grade art classes would take a candy package and then make it 12 times bigger. You know, take a roll of lifesavers and make it into a 3-foot-tall roll of lifesavers. And I could tell that they enjoyed doing that. And one of my goals as an art teacher was always to make sure that the kids were having fun when they came to the art room. Fun is, it gave them a reason to want to come to school that day for a lot of those kids. And I thought that was something that I could offer them.
So when you started thinking about the idea of creating a mega sculpture that would be on the lawn out in front of the junior high, and I mean, you didn't think just 3 times bigger or 12 no. times bigger. I mean, you were thinking really, really big. These sculptures dwarfed the school.
We wanted to make a statement. And after the success of the school lunch, I made the decision right at that time that I want to do this again. I didn't know that it would last for 23 years, the rest of my career, but I knew that the following year we were going to do something, and American Education Week seemed like a nice vehicle. So we built a giant pencil that year, and it was kind of interesting. My principal at the time was Bob Messer, and I had to approach Bob and say, Bob, we're going to put our mega sculpture outside this year. And he said, well, that sounds great. And I said, well, the bad news is we're building a big pencil, and in order for it to stand up, we have to dig two holes in the school lawn, 4 foot wide and 3 foot deep.
Because it was a broken pencil. There was the back part sticking up on one side and the point on the other, right?
Absolutely.
And what did he say to that?
Well, his only response was, Bill, you're going to make sure that you refill the hole with the dirt when you're done, and if you have to plant grass seed, you'll take care of that. And I said, absolutely. And I really admired Bob for letting us proceed like that. I think in some situations, the school principal would have said, there's no way you're digging holes in the schoolyard. But Bob Messer said, go for it, and we did.
Well, and you had to do a lot of other things over the years, like did you put students up on top of the school to help erect these sculptures?
I did, and you know, I don't know if in today's society if I would have been able to do something like that, but I've got a really fun quote for a young man that we built a big birthday cake for Pete's 40th anniversary, and it was a three-layer cake. The bottom layer was the actual school building, then we built two more layers on top of the building. Now, this young man's A.J. Elliott was his name. He said, I was on top of the school, on top of the second story of the cake, on top of a 12-foot stepladder. I overcame my fear of heights, and today I am a fireman in the Waterloo Fire Department.
So you launched a career.
We may have.
So how did you come up with the ideas every year for what the sculptures would be?
Well, after the third year, we built a big giant padlock. That was the year that our state legislature was considering cutting school budgets, and especially in the creative arts program. So a lot of our sculptures had somewhat of a political connection to them. And we built a giant padlock and a set of keys and a big chain, and we basically locked the school. And what we the keys represented three things that we needed to keep our creative arts programs going: parental support, community involvement, and state legislative action. And Master Padlock saw through the Associated Press saw a picture of that big giant padlock, and they wanted to buy it. And I said, well, I'm not sure that we can sell it, but we certainly would let you have it in exchange for some maybe some art supplies. And from that point on, we actually had sponsors. So we would try to relate the mega sculpture to whoever was going to sponsor at that particular year. And then we would start to brainstorm ideas related to what, like the giant cruise ship, the Travel Store was our sponsor. So
you, of course, were out there making these connections. Did people come to you or did you go to them?
Actually, on a few occasions, I would seek out a sponsor. But for the most part, as the community became more involved, and actually the viewing of the mega sculpture became a community event. We would have hundreds of people turn out, and we had so much support from the community that that we actually had sponsors lined up sometimes 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
Waiting for their turn. So what a wonderful way for the community to support, you know, our efforts. And I always was very appreciative.
We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking to Bill Close. He was an art teacher at Pete Junior High in Cedar Falls for many years. He is a working artist today, and he just published a new book that tells the story of the mega sculptures that were at Pete Junior High for many years. It's called Big, The Story Behind 23 Years of Pete Junior High Mega Sculptures. And I know that many of Mr. Close's students are out there. So if you want to share your experience building one of these mega sculptures, give us a call. Tell us what it meant to you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, and we'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me this hour is William Close. He's a retired art teacher from Cedar Falls, Iowa, and a working artist. He spent many years at Pete Junior High and became very well known for a major project he did every spring with his ninth grade class, building a mega sculpture. He has published a new book to tell the story of these sculptures. It's called Big, the Story Behind 23 Years of Pete Junior High Mega Sculptures. And just before the break, Bill, we were talking about how you brainstormed the ideas for these sculptures and also got sponsors to help you pay for this project, which I'm sure was not part of the regular school curriculum budget. But this sounds like it was a real labor of love for you. I mean, this must have taken many, many hours beyond your school day and your working week to put this together.
It took a lot of time, but like you say, it was a labor of love. And when you see kids get so excited about working on a project, the rewards far outweigh the extra time that's required to put in. And I would like to mention that as time went on, this became a Pete Junior High project. This was not a Bill Close project alone. I had many, many fellow teachers that took an active role in helping to, especially on the day when we put the mega sculpture pieces together outside. We had lots of help and great support from the entire school.
Well, and I am starting to hear from some of your students. This one is from Emily. She says, I helped with the wristwatch. She said, I think the best part of the mega sculpture project was getting to watch a plan become something real and not just real, larger than life. It brought the art students together, fostering a sense of teamwork and camaraderie. I was also lucky to live near the school, and I have fond memories of the sculptures growing up in the neighborhood. She also says, the type of art is so accessible to the students and their families as well as the public. I think it's a great way to introduce art to people that might not seek it out on their own, and I'm very glad I had the opportunity to be involved. And Bill, as you saw that first group of ninth graders get really engaged with a giant school lunch, the next year when you made that giant pencil, which was even bigger than the school lunch, were you seeing how it had happened before, were you surprised by the engagement that you got from the kids?
I would, back then I'd say yes, I was. As the years went by and we'd done, several mega sculptures, I realized that that this was something that by the time some of these kids had come through elementary school, they had seen previous mega sculptures, they were waiting their turn. And these things are so big that there's no way I could build them just in the art room. So I took over the wrestling room. We took over the hallways. We took over the stage in the cafeteria. And during any given art period, I'd have kids working throughout the building. And my role became just to kind of walk a path around through all these various workstations. And if there were any questions the kids needed answered, I would try to do it. And I'm not going to try to tell people that every time I went into a room that their kids were 100%
on task.
But the vast majority of the time they were. And the really cool thing to me was that if somebody wasn't carrying their load, I didn't have to remind them. Somebody in that group would say, hey, come on, we got to get this piece done. And part of that was ownership, because for example, the giant bicycle. I would assign a group to make the bicycle seat. Nobody else would work on that part. That was their job. And they took it very seriously, and they knew they had to do their part right because it had to fit with somebody else, another group. And what a marvelous thing to see kids that are 13, 14, 15 years old taking their job so seriously and know that they were trusted to do it well and get it done on time.
How did you plan these sculptures out? You got the idea, maybe you got a sponsor, or the sponsor gave you the idea. What was the planning process like?
Well, sometimes it was crazy, I'd like to back up just for a minute, and it'll all kind of tie this together.
Okay.
You asked how we came up with the idea. I'll use the cruise ship as an example. Would we... told the kids that we'd do the planning in the fall. We picked what we're going to do. So I provide the class, okay, the travel store is going to sponsor the sculpture this year. So what ideas, what could we build that would relate to the travel industry? And we started out with a suitcase. I said, oh, that's cool. Yeah, a big giant suitcase. That would be kind of cool. And then somebody said, well, it would be cooler if the suitcase was like open and it was full of a whole bunch of souvenirs, like a little miniature Eiffel Tower or a little plaster Mount Rushmore. I said, well, yeah, that's a cool idea. We could have the suitcase open and have souvenirs falling out of it. And then somebody else said, well, wouldn't it be cool if, like, on the top of the building we had a bunch of streamers flying off the building, like this was a Bon Voyage party? And then somebody said, well, God, wouldn't it be cool if instead of just streamers, we had a cruise ship out there? So, and that's what we ended up with. We went from a suitcase to a cruise ship in the matter of an hour. And then comes the challenge. Okay, we want to build this cruise ship, and it has to become massive. And it was the largest mega sculpture we ever built. It was 120 feet long. Travel Store provided us with a model of the fantasy cruise ship. We would take every aspect of that ship and measure it. We'd decide what the scale is going to be, and then it becomes a math problem. You know, like 1 inch equals 5 feet. Half an inch equals 2.5 feet. So everything is measured, and then we use some calculations of scale, and we break it all down into pieces. And I would draw plans. I would always have a few students that was their role, was to take some of the parts and make working drawings for the other students to work from.
What kind of materials did you use?
That was part of the learning process and part of the creative problem-solving process, is what materials could we use that are big enough to match our scale but affordable so we can do it. A good example was the giant bicycle. The wheels on the bike were 13 feet in diameter. The whole bike was about 32 feet long, 26 feet high. So we had to come up, what do we make the tires out of? Well, we decided that this plastic culvert tile, you know, kind of looked like the tread on a bike, but it didn't look like a mountain bike tire. So we had a group, we had three girls, and their job for almost a month was every day they would come into art class, and they would cut out little chevron pieces of styrofoam. One person cut them, one person painted them black.
Oh, wow.
And we had, I don't know, 800 of those, something like that, that we glued onto the tire to make it look like the tread of a mountain bike. So there was always kids that would come up with ideas, or I would have an idea of materials we could use. We use foam pipe insulation for the cables on the bike. It was just great fun. We'd struggle with how are we going to make this look like a part of the bicycle, and somebody would have an idea and would say, oh, God, that's great. That's perfect. So.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, the problem-solving process, because in building anything this enormous, you must have run into roadblocks all the time that you had to get past.
There was always some problems, and there was always, you know, in the back of my mind is safety. You know, we're building this giant bike, and it's going to weigh over 1,000 pounds. So fortunately, in my early years of teaching, I spent my summers building houses, and I had a good construction background. A lot of the teachers that helped me had a good background in building, and I would also bring in people to help us. I called Cedar Falls Utilities when it came time to put the bicycle up, and I said, we want this bicycle to stand up and be balanced. I said, could you send some of your linemen over and put the proper anchors in the ground and have the right kind of cables necessary to secure it so that it's safe and it's going to remain there? So here again, the community comes to our aid and provided us with expertise that we might not have had otherwise.
Now, the bicycle is kind of a notable exception to this, but for the most part, these sculptures didn't last very long. What was your timeline? I mean, the kids knew they were building something temporary, right?
Absolutely. And the timeline was we would select our sculpture so in the fall, so we'd know what we were building. And we'd start kicking around ideas for materials that we needed to acquire. After spring break, we would start construction. So we'd have about 6 weeks to complete the project. And the kids knew ahead of time that, you know, this is, you know, the sculptures are on display for about a week or 10 days. And we always tried to do it in the spring, so it coincided with high school graduation, because people would have a lot of family in town. They could come and view the finished project.
Right, and take their pictures in front of them, I'm sure.
And I told the kids, you know, it's like so many things in art and so many things in life, it's not the finished product that's the most important. I want you to remember the process that got us there and how well you worked together. And it's interesting, from the 60 quotes that I have in the book, so many of those students, that's the one thing that all these quotes had in common, was they felt they were part of a team. They accomplished something bigger than they could ever do on their own. So the fact that the sculpture only lived for a week was kind of secondary to the experience of getting there, the process. And I felt very much validated as these student quotes started to come in. These kids are 45, some of them 50 years old. They have kids in junior high and high school themselves, and they have very fond memories of their experience.
Well, and speaking of former students, I have a couple more comments for you. This one's from Katrina. She says, I worked on the Godzilla sculpture that was attacking the library. It was such great fun. This one's from Alexa, and she's another student who was the year of the wristwatch. She said, what really sticks out to me was the partnership of IT, industrial tech, and art. In hindsight, it was really neat to blend those two areas and interests. I remember using the bandsaw, painting, etc. We learned skills and applied skills from the foundational classes in previous years building that sculpture, and some of these same skills I apply to home improvement projects much later in life. I do not have any fear of trying new tools. She says, the other thing that stands out to me was the camaraderie of the students. It was just really fun to be part of something that community was always looking forward to. I remember in elementary school driving by each spring and looking at the sculpture, and then post junior high as a high schooler checking out what it was each spring. There was always that element of anticipation, wondering what the sculpture would be.
Oh, that what a great statement. That's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Well, and you know, I want to ask you about the art department at Pete Junior High. I am a former Pete Junior High student, and I did not take the mega sculpture class.
Shame on you.
Right, I can't remember what I did that year, so obviously I should have taken the class, because people remember working on the mega sculpture. But the art department was a really special place at Pete, and it wasn't just you. It was also Ron Streed was there when I was a student, and both of you together had such a skill at reaching out to students and connecting with students. Did you have a philosophy about that?
Well, I'm happy you mentioned Ron Streed. This book is it's dedicated to three educators that played a big part of in my career. Carolyn Harm was my arts and crafts teacher when I was a seventh grader, and she later became a colleague at Pete. And Ron Streed was my teaching partner, and Bob Messer was the principal. Those are the three people that I've dedicated this book to. Ron and I had a really remarkable relationship. We were kind of the yin and yang of the art world. You know, he kind of had this sort of hippie look about him, and he was so cool and so funny. And I was kind of the other guy. I was the straight guy. You know, I showed up the first year of teaching art with a coat and tie. It didn't take me long to get over that when I caught my necktie in the potter's wheel and just about killed myself.
Oh, no.
Ron and I, he was very supportive of the mega sculpture project. He was we were supportive of each other, and we both had our strengths, and I learned a lot from Ron. I learned the importance of humor in the classroom. He was always, you know, had the kids just in stitches, and I learned that's the kind of attitude you have to have working with junior high. Don't take yourself so seriously. Have some fun.
Well, Bill, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk more about what made that art department so special at Pete Junior High. And, of course, we'd love to take your calls. If you were part of these mega sculpture projects, give us a call. at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm talking with William Close. He just published the new book, Big, the story behind 23 years of Pete Junior High mega sculptures. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'm talking with William Close. He's a former art teacher at Pete Junior High in Cedar Falls, Iowa. He has just published a new book. It's called Big, the story behind 23 years of Pete Junior High mega sculptures. And if you're not familiar with what these sculptures were like, I mean, they dwarfed Pete Junior High School, a giant cruise ship that was probably at least as long as the gymnasium and the cafeteria put together, and a giant camera that towered above the school with a working flash. These were pretty incredible works of art. And the book shows all of these pictures gathered from all of these years. Bill Close is still a working artist. And Bill, just before the break, we were talking about your art department at Pete Junior High. And of course, I mentioned that that's where I went to junior high school. And one of the things that I remember really well, and the reason I didn't take your class in ninth grade is because I art was not my thing. You know, I was not a visual artist. I still do. I'm not a visual artist, but I remember...
I could have changed all that,
right? You
Jerry.
Probably could have. But, you know, the thing that I remember really well is being in Ron Street's class in seventh grade, and that was the first time I actually felt like I was capable of making art. And I think back on his teaching style and his ability to connect with students and make us feel like all things were possible. And clearly, listening to your students and reading the comments from your students who built those mega sculptures, this was a lot about empowering students to take risks and try new things, wasn't it?
Absolutely. There was several philosophies that we tried to project as art teachers at Pete. And we were never trying to make little artists out of our students. What we wanted to do was to have kids appreciate their ability to make art, to appreciate the creative process. One of the things that we did is every piece of art that a student made was put on display somewhere in the building. Every drawing, every project was displayed. We wanted to teach the kids appreciation for art and, most importantly, appreciation for their own creative process. And I think that struck a real chord with junior high, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders that were kind of struggling to find themselves. It was always very comfortable to make art at Pete. And we would design projects that a lot of the things we did were built in success, especially early in the year. You know, we want you to feel good about what you are capable of doing. And hopefully, if we get that mindset established in a young student, it'll carry over to their language arts or their math class. It had ramifications beyond the art room.
Definitely. And I think you really accomplished that. So that's just from the perspective of a student who was struggling with identity, as almost all junior high students are. I mean, I think about what you were able to accomplish with an age group that a lot of people, if they think about spending time in a classroom full of 14-year-olds, that curls their hair.
You know, people ask me, I'll meet, you know, make new friends, so they'll say, well, what did you do? I said, well, I was an art teacher. They said, oh, in high school? College? I said, no, I taught 33 years in a junior high school. And they said, oh my gosh, how did you survive? And I can't imagine that I would want to teach any other grade level. You could challenge a junior high student to do almost anything and they could accomplish what you asked them to do. Their abilities, I've always felt, were limitless. If you could just get them over the hump of thinking, well, no, I really can't do this, our job would say, yes, you can, and we will, and they did. So,
you did this for 23 years, and, you know, as I mentioned earlier, obviously this had to take a lot of time outside of work, and almost all teachers I know work far more than 40 hours a week and put a lot of their heart and soul into it, at least all of the great teachers I know. And was there ever a year where you looked at this and thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this again?
Well, not from my perspective. There were times when I felt you know, I was taking time away from my family, probably more than I should have on certain occasions. Some of these sculptures, when we do them in the spring, we have a deadline. And it would get to the point where we were really being pushed to meet that goal. And a lot of times we'd work on a Friday night. I'd have a group of kids that would come in. We'd start at 6 o'clock, and we'd work till midnight. And then we'd come back on Saturday morning and work all day on Saturday. And those are hours that I could not get back that I didn't spend with my own children and my wife, my family. And at the time, I was so wrapped up in getting this sculpture done that I probably didn't realize what was happening there. So that might be my one regret is sometimes you give so much of your time that you're taking it away from other people that are close to you.
I mentioned earlier that you are still a working artist. What do you do now? What is your focus as an artist?
Well, the year that I retired, my wife and I built, we bought a small acreage north of New Hartford, Iowa. I built a really nice home and a wonderful art studio attached to the house. I have a woodworking shop on the lower level and a painting studio on the upper level. So I do pastel paintings of a lot of Iowa landscapes, and especially I devote a lot of my time to making pastel paintings of prairie plants and the Iowa natural prairie. I also do a lot of woodworking, and I've had a lot of success with my woodworking, my wood sculptures. I've entered some in some shows and had positive results, and there's a gallery in Seattle that is selling my stuff. So I keep very busy in a lot of aspects, but pastels and woodworking are my passion right now.
Spending the last 5 years compiling these pictures for this book and revisiting some of these old projects, what was that experience like for you?
Well, I'll have to throw some credit to the photographer. Gene Mielek was the photographer for the book. And starting about at the year we built the camera, maybe a few years before that, she started taking hundreds and hundreds of photographs. And fortunately, she kept them. And I was always so busy, I didn't have time to photograph. When I noticed that she was coming every year to photograph the mega sculpture, I invited her, you should come in and start taking pictures of the kids while they're working. And so she did that, and it was through her archive of photographs that I had resources to pull from so that we could show the public. Everybody could remember the finished products. They remember the bicycle, they remember the camera, but they were never able to see how the students worked, how they actually constructed this. And that's one thing that the book does. It shows the process behind the finished product.
You also got to get back together with some of the pieces. Some people had preserved some of these pieces, right?
That goes back to, you said, what happens to the sculpture? Well, it's we tear them down, and kids are invited, if there's any piece of the mega sculpture you want to take with you, you know, take it home. And we've got kids, you know, all over Cedar Falls, all over the country now, that some of them have taken a piece of the mega sculpture, and when they've moved to Colorado, that piece of the mega sculpture has gone with them. I've got a student that worked on the very first school lunch, and he said he took the hamburger home, and he still has it in his garage. He's not sure why, but he still has it. So and that's pretty cool. That's their way of clinging to this experience, is to have a little piece of the mega sculpture. So this helps them remember the experience.
We have, speaking of that, a comment from Nikki. She says, I feel really lucky because I met Mr. Close before I ever moved to Cedar Falls for eighth grade. He did a summer mega sculpture program through the Waterloo Center for the Arts. I worked on a golf bag, clubs, and golf balls, fishing pole with lures and flip-flops, sunglasses, and sunscreen. It was kids of various ages from different schools. I want to say it was 2 weeks, and we got to make something to take home with us. I think my parents might still have a 30-inch fishing lure and a very large pair of sunglasses. So I'm sure there are bits and pieces all over the place.
I believe there are, and that summer program was Mr. Gene Drachenberg was the speech and theater teacher at Pete, and he and I partnered in the summer to do probably for 6 or 7 years we did a mega sculpture in the summer called an art camp.
Nice. This is an email from Jenny in Cedar Falls. She says, I have a seventh grader at Pete Junior High now. Are there any plans to continue the mega sculptures? And this did end when you retired.
I doubt if the mega sculpture would. When I left, I was pretty certain that it wouldn't continue because I had kind of a unique background. I think that my construction skills, when you build things this big, they have to be structurally sound and they have to be safe. And I just think there's a different attitude towards kids taking risks these days. And seeing kids climb up and down ladders carrying sandbags up on the roof of a school probably isn't going to happen again, I'm sorry to say.
Publishing this book, I'm sure it's brought you back in touch with so many of your former students, and you mentioned a little bit earlier about what that has felt like to hear from all of these students that were touched by this project over the years. But what are you hoping? I'm sure a lot of art teachers all over Iowa are going to pick this up, or a lot of parents are going to pick this up and look at this. What are you hoping people will take away from your experiences?
Well, this book is not a how to build a mega sculpture. That was not my point. My point is that what I wanted to get across, especially to young teachers of any subject matter, is to be excited about what you teach and to think big. You know, you don't have to build a giant mega sculpture to think big, but be enthusiastic about what you teach. Convey that enthusiasm to your students. Be knowledgeable of your subject matter. Have credibility. And that was kind of the message that I wanted the young teachers to grab from this book, is be excited about your career. You've got a wonderful opportunity to affect so many young people.
And it must feel really good to hear from so many students, because clearly you poured everything you had into these projects.
Well, there are some quotes that made me laugh, and there's some that brought tears to my eyes. You know, it really has been a special experience. I've loved it.
Bill Close, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charity.
Bill Close, a retired art teacher in Cedar Falls, still a working artist. He has just published the book Big, the story behind 23 years of Pete Junior High mega sculptures. This is Talk of Iowa.